Oh, shit. Hi, John. I didn't see you sitting there.
Hey, Alex. I've been here for about 45 minutes.
Fucking apparition, man. It just really just jumps at you. You know what I hate?
What's that?
I hate fantastic things and whatever the fuck.
Yep, I'm right with you.
Warn the town, the beast is loose. Word them up, y'all.
All right, so Fantastic Beasts and where to find them.
Yes.
I want to skip something because I don't want to forget this point. So let's just skip ahead for audience at home. We both didn't really adore this film,
mm-hmm.
and I think you'll pick up on that. I was thinking as I was watching it that you are so lucky that you don't know how many more things you would be annoyed by if you knew more about Harry Potter. There is so much pandering to Harry Potter fans in here that your eyes would be rolling so fucking hard.
Uh-huh.
But since you don't know that, like, you're spared from some of the annoyance.
So here's a question for you. Is it worse having that pandering come from J.K. Rowling or if it was just, like, some fan fiction nonsense?
I mean, it's equally shitty. I don't know. I can't answer that.
Sure. Fair enough.
Yeah. But, like, the thing he gets bit by, Mertlap. They reference Mertlap in the original books, like the invisible thing, the demigeist mm-hmm. that's referenced in the original book. Like,
Dougal or whatever?
Not him, but I mean, like, just that species. Like,
okay.
Like in the original books, not like they mentioned that many fantastic beasts. So, sure. Like, all these were chosen very specifically as a kind of weird, like, fan service is probably not the right way to word it, but it's just, there's so many little dumb references that, mm-hmm. as a Potter fan, I think you're supposed to, like, kind of mark out for, but, and I don't mind them, but every time one came up, I'm like, oh, John would be infuriated if you knew that.
See, I don't know. I mean, it's one of those things, and we've talked about it before, where it's, they do it in a way where if I don't know it, it doesn't matter. That's fine. And I think I think the movie, for all its other faults, I think it does a fairly decent job of that for, like, little, like, factoids and stuff like that. But on a theme level, I think it wants you to have the same feeling and love for these characters that, like, Harry Potter has.
Yeah.
But no one's earned any of it. I don't care about these people. They're in the same world. I don't give a shit.
This is an easy comparison, but this reminds me of the prequels, the Star Wars prequels, where there's a lot of, like, like, remember this thing that you like? Well, here's a slightly different version. This time it's in America.
Boy, I'm not sure I'm ready to drop.
Oh, I'm not saying
that kind of.
I'm not saying it's as bad. I just
no. But
it's evocative of the way that it just kind of went. Like, remember this stuff? Well, here's a slightly different version of it. That's
I would actually argue that just based on this movie solely, it's worse in that there's nothing connecting it to Harry Potter. They mentioned Dumbledore and Hogwarts exist. That's it. Phantom Menace at least had that is Anakin Skywalker. That is Obi-Wan Kenobi. This is their backstory. Things are happening.
Well, Grindelwald is in the original books.
Oh,
He's a kind of major minor character in the original books.
Okay, no idea.
Yeah.
So you have that going for you, I guess. But just generally on its face to me, it wasn't.
Yeah. To put it in the Star Wars parlance, because you're a fucking nerd,
mm-hmm.
This would be like them keep referencing Yavin. Because, you know, there's going to be a battle of Yavin.
Yeah.
Now, keep in mind what I did there, audience. I just called John a nerd and then made a really in-depth Star Wars reference.
Yeah.
Because that's the level we're operating here.
That's his podcast.
So, Grindelwald is a big deal in the books. Like, that symbol that he gets, that's the symbol of the Deathly Hallows. That's kind of the baked muffins. What are those called? Kerfluffles.
MacGuffin?
MacGuffin. I couldn't think of that fucking word. I'm like, it's a... It's a thing.
It's a kerfuffle.
Yeah, I was close. But that's the MacGuffin in the last Potter book is the Deathly Hallows.
Right.
Which is basically the story of Grindelwald and how he used to bang Dumbledore. Which,
oh,
I mean, they don't say it, but I mean, that's the implied thing. So there is just Grindelwald being here mm-hmm. is a, like, oh my God, this is all that shit you're about in the first ones.
Well, because this movie is also, and one of my complaints with this movie, and sort of, it doesn't have to be specific to this movie, but it applies to this movie, is just make a movie. Like, we talked about this with Spider-Man a bit, just don't, everything's got to be a goddamn franchise. Like, why don't you make a self-contained movie and then kind of build out of it? Like, the first Harry Potter, for example, is the story, like, there is a huge world they've built around it. And I'm basing this on the movie. I've read the book too, but there's this big bad Voldemort guy he's this ever-present evil that everyone is aware of. And then, hey, turns out the new guy in the school like, is kind of possessed by him a little bit. And, okay, now he's defeated. Now we get to go on with school.
Yeah.
Whereas this is clear, even though it's pretty much the exact same story in a lot of ways, this is very much like, oh, but he'll be back because it's Johnny fucking Depp.
I don't know if I agree with that. I actually thought this was pretty self-contained.
Oh, I think it's too, it's, there's not enough there for it to be self-contained.
Oh, I would agree more that way. I just, it didn't feel like it was setting up another movie. I felt like this wasn't, there wasn't enough to make a movie out of this. Mm-hmm. Like it's not, this isn't anything.
To be fair, because I learned at the end of last week's episode that there were going to be five of them, my view might have been tainted. Because since I know, I mean, obviously there's a sequel out now that just came out, but knowing that this is supposed to be the springboard for a whole bunch of other ones, rather than just like, oh no, they ended up making a sequel, is a different thing.
Yeah, I didn't feel like it was setting up the sequel very well, because I don't even know where the sequel goes. Because one is...
Oh, it's about his crimes.
There's no way I don't call him Stanley Kowalski at least once in the episode, so I'm just going to call him Stanley Kowalski right now to get it over with. I don't know if he's going to be in the sequel, because, like, Newt goes back to England.
Yeah, he couldn't possibly, although he should be, because he's the only... He's honestly the only thing I really liked about this movie.
Yeah,
except for one scene, but we'll get to that.
He won me over. There's something I hate about the way that, especially in an old-timey movie, the way they portray fat people.
Yeah.
And... he does a couple, like, the kind of fat guy tropes that just annoy the shit out of me. And just how sweaty he is as a character.
But as a sweaty fat guy, there was some solidarity there for me.
No, but that's what I'm saying. I'm a sweaty fat guy. I don't need...
I felt seen.
Oh, I...
It's finally nice that white fat guys can get represented in popular media.
Look, I'll tell you that you... No, yeah, I know you're kidding, but... Watch movies. That is a very under... You see more Native Americans than you see fat people on fucking movies.
Jack Black? Kevin James.
You mean those two guys that lost a whole bunch of weight and it's like...
Eventually. But started out...
You mean the guys that were funny because they're fat. Yeah.
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 Just like the show.
Well, no, but it was because... No, it's... I mean, it's kind of one step removed. It's we're funny because we're fat because we're bullied because of it.
Oh, all right.
You have to understand, bullying made us better.
Well, I did actually hear from several people about the last episode and how wrong I was. But,
I got yelled at.
I got yelled at by several people. But
I got yelled at for Spider-Man as well.
But that was also before they listened to the episode. So,
and I go back on that.
That's too bad because we're right.
Well, I think we are, but only I think there is a way to validly view a movie. And keep in mind, this is how much we care about Fantastic Beasts. We're going to talk about anything else. I think there is a valid way of viewing a movie where if the lead is charming enough, you can forgive it. And I think that guy. I think that's what I fell for the first time. And then when I stared at it for too long, I realized the flaws of the film is that he's such a good Spider-Man that I kind of just didn't. I let all the other stuff just slip
by.
The
truth about so much of this is that if you are having fun, if the movie has cast its spell upon you, you don't care about so much stuff because you're having fun. But I never found it fun. But I will say, as a segue back, boy, is the lead of Spider-Man Homecoming so much more charming than whatever the hell Newt Scamander is.
All right, let's talk about Newt Scamander. First of all, before we get on Newt, I would want a very quick thing. All right, so the movie starts. We get newspaper saying Grindelwald's on the loose. It's basically...
Yeah, it takes a lot of time to do that.
Yeah. And then we get introduced to this, that there's high tensions between the wizarding world and the world of nomadges.
Yeah.
Oh, does nomadge... I've never been... a patriotic person. I don't defend this country.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly, it's the first time I felt racism, that someone would think our country is so fucking stupid that our wizards would use the term nomadge.
Well,
I literally felt insulted by this fucking British piece of shit thinking Americans would use such shitty ass slang. Fuck you, Roland.
Well, the other one, like, what was it, Makusa or something
Makusa,
like that?
Makusa, but at least that's
that one
an
makes
acronym.
Sense. That one made sense. Like I said, it's an acronym. Yeah. The Nomad, it took me a second to kind of get to figure it out, but like what they were getting at. But I do like how the Americans have a dumber in a different way.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Fuck you, Roland. You're not allowed to. If an American wrote that, that's fine. You can't.
Yeah, but it's also like the 20s, like. You know,
no, but still, Nomad is so bad.
Yeah, so was the 20s.
What you don't know a lot. You didn't know a lot about this going in.
No, and I think I will say that I think the movie does a good job because I'm sort of only I've watched most of the Harry Potter films, but I honestly don't remember a lot of them. And I think the whole thing where so Newt Scamander goes to New York, whatever, and they have the awkward what we swapped luggage thing with him and the Nomad Kowalski. which brings him into the mix, which I thought was good because it was kind of a smart move because you have Newt Scamander, who even though is not a is a figure in name only, really, in the books, from what I understand.
Yeah, no, he's literally just the guy that wrote the textbook. He's not, he's not, at no point is he described as a person.
But
at all.
So he's the cipher for your Harry Potter fans, and Kowalski's the, you know, do you not know this? Then go on this magical journey along with Kowalski. And I thought that was kind of a clever way to split that up.
See, I liked the bones of this movie, which is, I think, the reason I kind of hated it more. It's, I find the movies that I hate the most are the ones that, like, it was like a whisper away from being something liked. So, like, I like the setup getting Jacob Kowalski into the Wizarding World. Except for, you gotta do that whole dumb fucking Niffler's loose, like, wacky, like, it's just, that's not done well, so it really just tarnishes the kind of the nice set piece to get him in. It's just, you didn't need that. Because there's like, that fucking Niffler, there's like three different scenes that are the exact same scene with that fucking thing.
Well,
and it's cute and all, but like, whatever.
It's a little bit boring to be like, well, if they have magic, how come you can't do this? Because whatever, as long as the rules are consistent, I'm fine. But at the same time, like, particularly in this scene where he's later trying to get Niffler out of the, like, jewelry store. And then he ends up casting a spell on him that, like, throws him into a mirror that turns into jelly or whatever. But it's like, why don't you just do that? Why isn't there, like, a catch-us-net-us spell? Because I feel like when you can kind of feel that some of it's kind of stupid.
That didn't bother me as a Potter fan so much. Because, like, it is, like, wizarding stuff. It's, like, actually kind of, I don't want to say athletic, but it's, like, you have to aim well. Like, there's not a lot of, like, that's now a spider web because you have to make sure the Niffler runs into it as well. Like, there's like Expelliarmus and all that bullshit, but like, it's like you have to hit it right. Like, you have to aim properly. It's almost like shooting a gun.
Okay.
So like, I don't like those scenes, but I'm okay with the way they play out, at least within the confines of the way they've described magic previously. What I don't like is everything with Colin Farrell's character, where most of the time he doesn't even have a wand. He just does, like, kind of, man, the hands are moving, and therefore this stuff's
Jedi
happened.
Stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, which is in the books, but, like, it's, okay, well, I mean, let's just go to
as,
the end.
As a muggle, I will say, it was just, he's doing magic.
Yeah, which, I mean, it's fine. It's just one of those, like, to keep it consistent. So if you're fan servicing, it's just weird. But, because it turns out he is one of the most powerful wizards ever, because it turns out, did you know that twist?
No, but as soon as you see the back of Grindelwald at the beginning of the movie, and then you see kind of Colin Farrell, and he has the exact same haircut, and I went, well, I bet he's that guy.
Yeah, see, that's what I was wondering the first time I watched this, I wasn't paying much attention.
Yeah.
Like, I was just kind of dicking around my phone, because I knew I wasn't going to like it. I don't even like the Harry Potter movies, I just like the books. So I was half paying attention. So when the reveal happened at the end, I totally missed the whole beginning part where they spoiled it, because somebody else mentioned that. And I'm like, oh, fuck! That was really well done. But then, like, I went online, it's like eight different people reference, like, now they do like a shot for shot comparison that totally tips their head. I'm like,
Oh yeah,
probably should also notice that he's like the most powerful wizard ever, and no one fucking even like mentions anything about it over the course of the
But it's also just I wasn't prepared to be shocked, I guess. Like, not that I didn't tell much. But it's just, it wasn't like, turns out. I mean, as soon as you got the sense that he wasn't on the level, you're like, well, he's either working for, they've established who this villain is, and just because I've seen previous Harry Potters, I just went, oh, that's this Voldemort.
Okay, here's a nice thing about this, though. Really glad we don't hear Voldemort's name.
Yeah, sure.
Because in the books, especially, boy, am I tired of the he who should not be named and the whole fucking power of a name. And it becomes this heavy-handed metaphor. And, oh, it's nice to just be like, yep, bad guy's named Grindelwald. Like, there's no fucking big old spooky deal about it. Just, that's the dude's name.
Which, I don't know, just this bothered me with just my nascent knowledge of Harry Potter, of just that it felt the same but less so. It's just here's a hero that is not that interesting as a person, so we've buffeted him with two seemingly more interesting people, although in this case the female lead is not very interesting at all.
No.
And then he's fighting he ends up fighting the, like, the big bad guy at the time, who's pretending to be a good guy. Or it's just like, I've seen, and then like the inner scene squabbles between wizarding. I guess it's like Star Wars, where it's like, yeah, it's always gonna be the Empire versus the rebels. It's like, this feels like a weird riff on the formula.
Yeah, I mean, in this case, the rebels are the Medcusas, but yeah.
And just like and just the concept of things in the past, like it's all tied to the past and like what came before.
Here's the reason that I think it's both effective as idea and ineffective in execution is what it is Voldemort is Hitler. So World War II. Mm-hmm. This is World War I was Grindelwald.
Uh-huh.
However, and now maybe you're going to shock me with this. John, do you know anything about World War I other than Archduke Ferdinand got shot?
Mustard gas, the Doughboys. I actually started listening to a podcast about it, but I didn't get that far into it yet.
Yeah. So to answer the question for me, and I think most people, nope.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I know like ish, but boy, do I know a lot more about World War II. That's like the big, that's where the big bad happened. Yeah. That's where fucking Voldemort Hitler is.
Right.
So these being like, oh, cool. We're going to dive into that less interesting thing that happened before. Like, great. I mean, not to take away from the suffering of World War I, but it's, you're really the lesser of the two.
That was a thing too, that again, having just talked about the movie not catching me in its spell. So then I started thinking about other things. So they mentioned that that Newt Scamander was in World War One. And I started just thinking
I think he was like a dragon breeder or something like that. Cause both the world wars also are magical wars at the same time.
Oh, okay. Because this is what I was getting. I was like, did they not use magic during these wars? And if so, is that moral?
I might be wrong about this, but I think during the wars, there was also wizards on both sides. And somehow, like, it's kind of not written about in history. Like, somehow they obliviate or whatever. I'm not 100% sure, but I think that's referenced.
Okay. It doesn't really matter. It's just a flight.
Well, I mean, it doesn't. A note at the end. In this movie, they fix New York up real good with their magic.
Mm-hmm.
How about London? That shit got bombed the fuck out in World War II.
Yeah.
There's people walking around with wands.
But they're not covering their asses.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, fuck you guys. Yeah. Like, what a bunch of fucking... I mean, that's established in Harry Potter as well. Like, magicians are kind of dicks, like, in their interactions. Then the Muggles will always want magic to fix everything. It's like, yeah, all right, that's fine. I get it. You think they're, like, basically, like, toddlers. However, their whole fucking city just got knocked down.
Yeah.
By
the end of the movie, I'm like, well, I'm kind of with Grindelwald. Like, he's not wrong. Because he's like, is this to protect us or protect them? It's like, it's clearly to protect them.
It is. Yeah, I mean, it is. But also, you know, there's more of us, so we should be protected. We also don't have, like, magical fucking wands that could be...
Yeah.
Hey, look, godlike powers of people that are 12. That seems real smart.
That's great. So Newt Scamander shows up. Yeah. We should probably start about the movie at some point.
But Newt, though. Is he meant to be... I don't know how to, if this is the wrong term, I don't mean it offensively. Is he meant to be on the spectrum? Is he meant to?
Probably. I mean, my note is just, am I supposed to actually like this guy? Because the reality is this movie is Jackass makes things worse. Like all the things that were in motion were going to happen anyway, but they were made worse by him.
Yeah. But you say that about Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah. No, because he didn't make things worse. Like an entire city got destroyed. Nazis weren't just murdered. Like,
no, but I mean, like that bazaar got all shot up. That monkey died. Like,
yeah. Oh, a monkey. I mean,
look, I'm just saying, if he didn't show up, everything would have been worked. That thing could have been open in front of Hitler. I mean, you don't know.
Yeah. But I mean, at least that movie is about the pursuit of the Grail.
No, I gotcha. Yeah.
This movie is about guy just takes his zoo with him like a normal person. Like, causes havoc, and then, oh, by the way, there's this other intrigue.
Yeah, and also, fix your fucking suitcase, bro.
Yeah.
Okay,
so again, like, not to be... So, the whole thing opens, we've referenced with...
Oh, wait, sorry, we keep going away. I'm not saying this as a pejorative, but is he supposed to be on the spectrum?
Yeah.
Like, that's literally...
He's just a collection of ticks. Like, there's nothing to this character.
But it goes back to the liking him thing. So, if he's meant to be sympathetic because he's working... As a person that's on the Asperger spectrum or whatever the proper term is nowadays, there is a sympathy and a certain kind of something you can apply to that. But if he's just like if he's just as Jar Jar Binksian, and as a, you know, I don't want to say fully functional, but as a neurotypical,
mm-hmm.
there's a totally different response to the character. But the way it's written, I can't tell if that's purposeful, because he does the I don't like making eye contact thing, and it's very clear every time he talks to somebody that he doesn't make eye contact, which is, you know, it's with somebody on the spectrum, that's one of the traits. Ticks, one of the traits. Like, he doesn't get along with people. People don't like you, or at least that's the perception. Like, maybe this shouldn't matter, but like, we live in a world where it matters, and my ability to kind of understand and sympathize and empathize with this character is very much in the air because I don't know him well enough. I don't even know if he's...
Because there's nothing to know about him. Like, there's all you know about him is that he has some tics and, boy, he likes animals. That's it. I mean, and you get a little bit of his history, but there's not a character there. It's just a collection of
tics. Yeah, so that's what I mean. So he's not... He's underwritten. He's not subtly written.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, 100%.
But that's what I mean. If he's written to be like Asperger's or whatever... And I keep saying whatever because I don't know if that's the right term anymore. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to sound like I'm using like, oh, well, he's mentally retarded and mm-hmm. therefore he's an idiot and must be put in the sanitarium. Right. Like, I just
a mongoloid?
Yeah, I'm just not up to the – I don't know the proper modern terminology. But if he's written that way purposefully, that actually is like a really interesting take on a character and could be interesting.
It could be.
But that's the thing is it a poorly written that – Or is it just she just didn't bother to give guy a character, which I tend to think that's the answer.
What's the it's the same thing with Credence Barebone, which is the porniest name, I think, in the Harry Potter universe. The Ezra guy, Ezra Miller,
my man
looking like Mo Howard, joined the Addams Family. Like, he's supposed to be this like damaged, but there's no character there. Also, he's just a sad man.
Yeah. Yeah. Credence is really... Boy, there's a lot of character problems.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a lot of problems throughout it. Like, I was talking to a friend recently about a different movie. I'm not gonna get into which one it was, and I complained about it being overstuffed and sort of confused. And he's like, I feel like that's the copy edit review of every movie lately. And absolutely, it's true with this one. Yeah. There's so much stuff here. Why is John Voight in this movie at all?
I feel like
I'm doing the same thing that we've done with other movies with this, you know, where I'm like, why is this, you know, this needs to be just streamlined down.
Well, because, I mean, there's not enough to make a movie and it goes to, yeah. So I have it
well,
here.
Well, that goes to my thing where it's like, this is clearly setting up, this is going to be a thing later.
Yeah, see, I didn't take it that way. I just took it as it's another movie where there wasn't enough copy material. So I have here, like, I have it in the house and thankfully we're talking too much so I don't have to read from it. But I have Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, the original book by J.K. Rowling. It's
tiny.
80 pages, maybe?
Sure.
83 pages. And all it is a list of beasts and their attributes. So I made it, I'll read it so quickly. It just says, like demigeist. The demigeist is found in the Far East, though only blah, blah, blah. It could be, its pelts are highly valuable. Like, it's just a description of the thing.
Yeah.
Yada, yada. But this is the whole thing. So the entirety of Newt's background, other than shit she made up for it, came from this tiny little book.
Oh, of the shit she made up, other than the factual stuff.
I mean is like the pre-existing canonical stuff about Newt Scamander is this tiny little bullshit book that has nothing to do with him.
Yeah.
He's a note in the front saying, Newt was some guy. Mm-hmm. He liked animals. And I think it shows so much in this movie where it's just, there's nothing here. So it's... I lost the stuff. We have to find the stuff. The bad guy, and then the bad guy gets caught. But there's no real bad guy. There's no characters. One of the Queenie is, she'd be a one dimensional character in 1940 something. Like when the movie said, it's just she's a nothing character. The bad guy is, I think he's got dimension, but I know about him already, so I don't know what you can get from him from watching this movie. But I'm pretty sure not much.
Not much. Yeah. There's a little bit that I liked, but.
But yeah, there's nothing, this movie, there's nothing in it. So it's such a waste. Like impactless is the word it's a wet fart of a movie.
But that wouldn't bother me as much as if it was.
Because you love wet farts.
Well, yeah. But if it was fun and it's not, there are moments that have some levity and whatever. Like, there's nothing wrong with just being a pure escapist thrill ride or something.
Yeah.
But it's not that. It's too, there's too much. Like I said, trying to feel like that it's setting stuff up, like I said, with the John Voight stuff or whatever. And it's just, no one's very interesting. I mean, if Newt Scamander was The Rock, hell yeah.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
But no, he's just this weirdo that shows up in America with this case. Animals get out of it. And then he's kind of, I gotta go find him. And not even in this fun Pokemon way. Like, most of the time, they're just like there.
Yeah. Yeah, the one beetle thing just keeps following him around. It's wow, that's really difficult to find.
And, yeah.
And so the senator thing is, so that was the point I was kind of bouncing around. It does nothing for the plot other than just fill some time.
Right.
Because it doesn't affect anything other than...
I mean, like, the murder happens that people blame on him.
Yeah, but do you need a senatorial campaign that could somehow eventually be precedent for
but
that?
But that's what I'm going with. Yeah. Well, this somehow the Obliviate didn't work on him and he's going to be back later. Or something like that, because what I mean? Because, again, why is John Voight in this movie? Basically, this weirdo comes to New York.
He gets hooked up with Jacob. They're and the things go on the loose. Mancuso gets all mad at him, like, hey, things happen, and then what do they do? They escape or something?
Well, what happens is, so they trying to get the thing that escapes from his bag first, a Niffler?
Niffler, which is from the original Potter.
Yeah, he ends up essentially robbing the bank. Because he opens the safe and the alarm's going off, and he's trying to obliviate Jacob from knowing that anything was happening, because Jacob has been following him around. So because they end up switching suitcases, like, Jacob goes home, Kowalski goes home and opens his suitcase, and thus letting out a whole bunch of the Fantastic Beasts, which causes some serious havoc. And Makusa, the Magic USA, the Magic Police, basically find out about it. And this woman that was tracking them isn't really there's a name for them.
Aurors.
Yeah. They're basically just magic detectives. She used to be magic detective.
Aurors.
Whatever.
Like Mad Eye Moody, one of the best aurors ever.
Got busted down to just the mail room.
Harry became an auror after he graduated.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, instead of Ron Weasley. Mm. But then he quit being an auror, went back to work for his brother's joke shop.
Yeah. And so they have to go like back and fix. And here's one of the first moments was when he just casually rebuilds a building.
And
I'm sure no one saw that. That's fine.
There's a lot of casual magic use in public
for being all super secretive, and they having done things like, well, we got to go find these other animals, and I still don't understand why one of the animals had attacked Jacob, which you said what it was earlier.
It's a Murtlap.
Sure.
Yeah.
And so she takes them, the magic detective takes them to her apartment for some reason to care for them. I don't really understand why they left, but it doesn't matter.
Well, so here's what I think happens. And I'm not confident in this, but what I think is going on is because she kind of got shut down when she tried to bring him in.
Mm-hmm.
She, now that there's magical beasts on the loose, she feels like she'll get in more trouble because she was already familiar with him.
Right.
So she feels like, okay, now I have to help fix this problem with them. So I'm going to take care of these guys for a little bit while we catch the animals.
I'm going to watch them like they're under citizen's arrest.
Yes,
sort of.
Right. To try to, and then I'll turn them in.
Yeah.
I think, because it's not particularly clear.
Right. And because she loves justice. And so she sneaks them into her apartment where she lives with her sister, Queenie.
Queenie. Now, Queenie, again, just really deep character. Turns out she's hot.
Yeah, no, I mean, she's just a 1940s dame, basically.
Yeah,
and they try to give her some depth because she loves the fat guy. And she's a mind reader.
Yeah.
And has never seen a non-magic person before. How?
Well, I think...
Is she just warping to and from work? Well, is the idea that they're too afraid to have her out interacting with people?
No, I think it's not that she's... I think it's that she's never had an interpersonal relationship with one, is what she's referencing. Not that
How?
She's...
You live in New York City.
Well, because they live in a kind of alternate universe New York where... So the idea is, and I'm very much filling in blanks that should have been filled in, is that New York probably has its own Diagon Alley. It's got its own, you know, wizarding shops
or
whatever.
Sure. Well, when they show you... When they enter into the Magic Academy... Yeah. I really like that bit because they just go into this one. You see the revolving door of the building, this big glass front. One of the doors is guarded by a guy, and they go into it, and it's just this whole other world. And just the way that was done, I liked that whole bit.
Well, so I think the idea is that the only people she ever deals with on a daily basis are the magic people.
Okay.
She never goes to muggle shops or whatever.
Because it made it sound like they don't let me out.
No, it could be read that way, but because the original books have it like that, where there's not a lot of, like, they don't understand how muggle money works in the original Harry Potter books. Like, they don't, there's whole scenes of, like, Arthur Weasley, Ron's dad, is, like, obsessed with muggles. He thinks they're hilarious. And there's a scene where, like, he has to pay for a camping site that they're at, that there's a muggle working the door. He's like, I don't understand how money works. He's like, is this a 20? And Harry's like, no, dude, it's a 5. There's a fucking 5 written on it. And he's like, oh, I don't understand how this short. And it's a funny, like, hilarious thing. But the point is, there's like, purposefully no interaction between them. So, like, their money's different. It's an entirely different secluded world. So, again, this is not in this movie. Mm-hmm. I've read the books a bunch of times, and I'm overlaying those with that, so that I could see how in a better built film that her statement would be less depressing.
Yeah.
But yeah, in this movie, like, if you want to watch a movie from a blank slate, tabula rasa, the other films don't exist yet, her story is bleak and depressing, and she's stuck in the house by herself. Yeah.
But then later when she's like working at the office, I'm like, oh, so she does go outside.
Yeah, but those are all wizard people there.
Right. No, yeah, I know, yeah. But just I figured she would encounter someone in the interim, but she might be warping there because that's the one spell everyone does in this movie is warping
places. Oh yeah, they apparate the shit. It's apparating, by the way, John.
Sure it is.
Yeah.
But so then while they're convalescing under her care,
this is the scene that this is where the fat guy is in love with the aroma of food scene, which makes me.
Which one's?
Queenie cooks for him.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, oh, strudel. And he has that like fat guy, like wimpy from Popeye's guy orgasm.
Yeah.
I fucking hate that shit. That's not for 2016. Right. That's literally 60 years out of date.
He was a pastry man.
Oh,
so he liked pastries.
Oh God. It just, yeah. I hate.
Now, I will say.
I hate that.
Yeah. But I think the, and I believe I said it already, but just that Jake Fogel, I believe is the actor's name. He's the only one that brought any, like, his character had a heart. No one else had anything. He was the only, like, character that I cared about and wanted to see do good. Everyone else I just did not give a shit about.
I agree with you. Other than Ron Perlman with backwards fingers, I thought he was. Sure. I thought he was fully fleshed out. I really liked him.
You know who? Yeah, that bit made me fucking think of Valerian, which is not a great thing. But that's not the movie's fault.
That whole sequence reminded me of the Star Wars re-releases where that like weird lady with the big lips is like Magawidowa in the middle, like directly to camera.
Uh-huh.
And that's the same as that elf lady singing. I'm just like,
yeah.
Oh, this is so fucking like. Yeah. Sorry, I just. But yeah, sorry, I interrupted you by talking about the annoying food orgasm that fat people do.
But like, so they go into the suitcase, and this is when I officially was just like, I hate Newt Scamander because, yeah, he has this whole zoo with him in his suitcase. And none of these animals are apparently dangerous, except for that one that's absolutely dangerous. The thing that ends up being the bad guy in the film, the
Obscurus.
Yeah, whatever.
He describes it later.
It's in a protective thing, and it wouldn't survive outside of it.
Yeah, so it is. So there is nothing dangerous, but I mean, it does have those rhino looking things. I think are rumpants.
Right.
Which are referenced in the original book. That's what its horn could make things explode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, there's nothing dangerous.
There's nothing dangerous.
That's like those shithead people with pit bulls. They're like, oh, it's not the breed. It's how you breed them. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, but you're like, I don't trust you. You're like a shitty person. And that thing will bite my fucking arm. Like, it is dangerous.
You're absolutely right. Yeah. But in your care,
I know. Oh, yeah, Newt Scamander. Yeah, he gives me a lot of trust that all those things are well-trained and will not destroy
And you find out that he's there to release some captured animal that he's found back into the wild.
It's like a Thunderbird kind of thing.
Sure.
I don't know the name.
Every other animal he's happy to keep and exploit for his own purposes. But this one he's going to set back in the wild. But it's also, you couldn't have two suitcases. You couldn't have the one that they live in, and then you take this one with this one thing over. I mean, it's drilling down to nitpicky levels, but it's just, why did you need to take your entire menagerie with you?
I think he caught all those on the trip. Is what I think the idea is.
So he's either that does not.
Oh, no, it's still. It's
yeah,
still
he's
dumb.
An asshole.
Yeah, yeah. Also. Okay, so in the original Harry Potter, it's in one of the first scenes of wizarding magic. At one point, Hermione goes, Oculus Reparo, and fixes Harry's glasses.
Uh-huh.
Motherfucker, that girl hasn't even gotten to Hogwarts yet. She can fix glasses. You can't fix a latch on your suitcase that's got your most prized fucking things in it? Fix your fucking latch, dick. Like, oh, that's so irritating. Though I did like at the end. Because there are parts of this movie that I found endearing. I did like that he just tied it up with like burlap like twine. that's the solution. It's stupid, but because I actually, the end of the film was the nude I would have liked to watch the whole movie where he was like kind of in love with the lady and it's like, oh gosh, like I was like, oh, I actually find you slightly charming right now.
Yeah,
it's literally 2 hours and 29 minutes into a 2 hour and 30 minute movie, but I'm like, oh
yeah,
and it's all fixed with twine. He's like, oh, I'm a widow boy, like, okay, I like this guy.
I did also like at the beginning how he has a switch on the suitcase. Because when he's getting checked through customs, he has a switch that makes it like, little thing comes up and says like, for muggles or like, muggle safe. And it turns into a regular suitcase. But I also like the idea of that suitcase just being full of pornography.
Because
he's just a weird, doesn't know anything. And like Travis Bickle is actually seeing like, those are movies I go see. That he's just like, this is what people do.
Oh, that'd be.
And so the guy opening it and it's
I
all
would
just.
I would never stop watching this movie. That would be the greatest fucking thing.
Drawings of the Cats and Jammer kids' feet. And he's like. okay, thanks, buddy. Welcome to America.
And yeah, it'd be like that creepy 1940s bondage. So they're still in like full, like swimsuits, but like tied to a bed.
Right.
Newt.
Yeah. So yeah, and I just like that. So you had this like, oh, here's all these different animals that I care for, and these are kind of neat, and there are some neat designs in there, or whatever. And he that's when you first get Newt being any kind of character whatsoever. Is when he's feeding these things and caring for them, which I understand that move of just like, oh, see, he's most comfortable around his trophies.
Yeah.
Because he's a piece of shit. And
well, okay, but here, let's talk about this. This may make more sense to you as a dirty scumbag meat eater. There's like animal carcasses when he goes down there. There's skinned animals that he's feeding to other things.
That he's chopping up and
I mean, I get that's the circle of life, yada yada. But did you really need to show that? Like, the animal lover, the guy with skinned animals in the bag he walks around in. And maybe it's just like, it's the vegetarian me talking, but that makes me uncomfortable. So it's like, I'm walking around with a bag with full skinned animals in it. To me, that's a sign of really deep concern, and I don't want to spend time with
you. Well, that was also just kind of like Requiem for a Dream style editing, because he's going down, they're going down there ostensibly to cure his mugwort bite or whatever the flap. What is that thing called?
Mertlap.
Yeah.
I could be wrong about that. I think it's a mertlap. Something. Sure. Who gives a shit?
And it does quick cuts of him like putting the thing together. And I still don't understand why he does the yo-yo animal at him, other than so when it shows up later, you're not like, oh, what's that thing?
I thought that was kind of cute. I think that's him being like, I'm a playful little boy, is he's showing his toys to his friend.
Yeah, they're like, oh, I'm going to scare you, because he has this little tiny ball thing that he throws out, turns into a giant winged lizard thing.
Yeah, because besides how it sits in the movie, which I talked about earlier, is I like this sequence, except not in this movie, not right now, but like,
no, the whole
it's fun.
Yeah, the whole thing is so confused tonally.
Yeah.
Because it wants to do the darker later Harry Potter stuff, which I mean, just again, seeing the movies, I feel is when that you start to get much more into like the muggles versus wizards kind of racism.
Yeah.
And just things being bleak in general as Voldemort gains power. Whereas this wants to have that kind of bleak, heavy stuff, but still be the like, bee-wee, this is still Hogwarts and wizardy.
Yeah.
And there's a way to make that work, but this movie didn't do that.
I like the stuff in the box. It made me, it was like kind of Willy Wonka-esque.
Well, that's because to me, that was the moment where I was like, okay, like we kind of stumbled a bit getting here. There was some fun stuff, but now we're going to like get into some Harry Potter shit. Like now it's going to be kind of magical and fun. And it wasn't.
No, and then it's just, let's just catch animals, like basically.
In trying to get all those things back, because she figures out that they're gone.
Well, the sequence goes like that. I mean, I remember, I just wasn't sure if this is where we are in the movie. So they go, Newt's like, hey, where would a savannah creature go? And he's like, Central Park. And Newt's like, where is that? And Jacob's like, okay. And he gives a wry smile because, like, this fucking idiot can't figure out Central Park, probably somewhere in the center. Also, right. It's that giant park in the middle of the fucking, but anyway.
Sure.
I like his smile here. This is actually where Jacob starts winning me over, because I've sort of forgotten the wimpy orgasm. And they go, so this is where they're chasing down the I think maybe they catch the Niffler first in the department store, and then they go catch the rhino thing.
Well, yes, because when they're capturing the Niffler, that was, I did not like that bit, because so they see the Niffler, and it's clever enough to pretend to be like a mannequin or something in a window holding some sparkly stuff.
If this movie was more fun, I would have thought that was cute.
Yeah.
But it's like,
But then, so he sees him, and he's like, oh, I'm on to you, and says Fenestra, or whatever the spell is, and just busts open the window. And then he's chasing the dang thing around the store, and you just mainly see it from the outside of the store, which I liked that choice. It made it a little bit sillier.
Yeah.
But then he's got the thing, he's about to get the thing, and he's on something precarious, and it falls over and breaks the window. Uh-oh, he already broke a window. Like, I don't see what the problem is. He already broke, destroyed property in pursuit of this thing.
I understand
it went above and beyond.
No, I don't think he broke a window on the way in. I think he kind of like magicked through a window on the way in.
Shatters.
Oh, did he?
It shatters and falls down.
Oh, I missed that part. Admittedly.
Yeah.
There's parts of this movie that I started looking
at. It doesn't matter.
It's
just supposed to be a fun, you know, cause and destruction after this thing. But I also just, because I just hate Newt anyway at this point. But so the cops show up, and then they're distracted by a lion. And the lion is there because this, the Hufflepuff or whatever it's called, what is it? The rhinoplasty?
A rumpet.
Rumpet.
I think it's an
Why
there's,
not?
There's a horn that explodes in the Harry, in the original Harry
no,
Potter.
No, that's because that's what it does to the tree.
Yeah, so I think I'm guessing this isn't a rumpet. Because again, this is that fan service shit I was telling you about earlier where it's like if you were a Potter fan, you'd be like,
yeah, but it does. Course. I mean, it does. It's just a monster that blows stuff up and looks like a rhino.
Hey, they named seven monsters in the original books. Let's make sure all seven are rhino.
Right. So it's like it's in the zoo causing havoc. Because apparently it's horny as hell. And not just because it's a rhino. But and I did honestly, I liked the scene. Again, this was a moment where I liked Newt as a character, where she was one of the few scenes where he's something other than a bunch of ticks, is that he's trying to get its attention. He has this vial of pheromones, basically, and he puts some on and then gives it to Kowalski for some unknown reason, rather than putting it back to wherever he found it. And then he starts like mimicking their behaviors or something.
Yeah.
So it's this goofy little bit of physical acting, but I liked it. I thought it was cute and it worked for me.
Yeah. This is where I texted you where I said this movie would be so much better if the rest of the film was him just getting violently fucked to death by the Eruptus.
Well, because so Kowalski, like gets surprised by something and then, or a monkey does something to him and he spills all the stuff all over him.
Yeah.
So the rhino thing is
just
like,
call
oh,
it rhino.
Yeah, is I want your ass now.
Yeah.
And starts chasing him around, and then he's got to, there's a whole thing where his commander's got to get his wand back from the monkey. So he ends up, they end up being able to get the thing back, which apparently all you have to do is open the suitcase and touch it to the thing.
Okay, you know, this annoyed the shit out of me, because again, going back to this whole fat guy thing. Kowalski couldn't fit in the suitcase earlier. Yeah. He had to like jump up and down to get his gut through. And it's not like that actor's all that fat. I mean, he's a heavy set guy, but he's not like he's not a monster. Like he's probably under 300. Like he's not that big of a dude. But he had to jump. But then somehow Newt fucking fits this in giant fucking rhino.
Consistency.
And it's those little things that annoy me about a film.
So meanwhile, while this is all happening, we've established we've talked about how there's this anti magic group called the.
They call them the New Salemers, but they're called Salemers. like the Second Salem Church of the, we say weird shit.
Sure. Yeah. Something like that, including this Credence Barebones, who's the...
Oh, by the way, I meant to say this before. That's not the worst name. Isn't this sister named like Evil Do Good or something?
I have no idea. I totally missed her name. Oh, her name Mary Lou. No, okay. That's the...
Wait, I'm going to find it right now because her name is Modesty Barebone. And the other is Chastity Barebone.
Sure.
Sorry.
Okay. Those are all just you in 2018 wrote like, no, their last name's going to be Barebone. And that's not weird. No one's going to think anything of that.
Credence was the most normal of those names.
I disagree. Credence Barebone is a gay porn name. Like that's a pretty good, I mean, they're all porn names. Modesty Barebone.
Yeah.
Like you have this side story with them and cause she has all these orphans that helps deliver her pamphlets. And Credence is weird, and they go visit this Senate candidate, including one of her acolytes is the son of a wealthy newspaper man whose other son is running for senator, and they have this whole scene where they go to try to convince him.
I didn't put that together. Yeah. So that's the relationship there.
And the other guy, the guy running for senator, is super mad at those, at the people, the I'm against magic people, or at least like he yells it at Ezra Miller's character. About you know, he's like, get out of here, you trash man. But I don't know if he knows that he's secretly magic or what. The whole scene was just so out of place for the rest of the movie.
See, what I thought was happening there was the senator guy is a magician, or at least a magic, whatever, like knows about the magical world. And that's where all that annoyance comes from. And that's why there was so much focus on them.
Yeah.
There has to be.
You would think.
Because it doesn't work there. So there's got to be some. The only thing. And again, I think I'm filling in spots.
Well,
I want to like this because I like the books.
Yeah. Well, unless the whole thing is later than the senator is super anti-magic because look at what it did to my boy. And then it turns out, well, your boy was magic. And oh, I have to wrestle with that.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that's what's coming. So these other scenes have happened, and they're just like, meanwhile, there's this story of this idiot trying to fix his problems, which would have been a fine, like, I didn't love, obviously I don't love him as a character, but just, that could have been the movie. You know what I mean? Like, idiot causes problems, has to fix problems, but then there's just all this other stuff.
Yeah. Well, this is, all right, so here's a spot that I like, Colin Farrell, whatever his character name is.
Graves.
Yeah. So Tina and Newt get caught, and they get interviewed. So Newt is getting interviewed by Colin Farrell's character, and I would like this. This is one of those fan service moments I really like, because he goes, "So you're expelled out of Hogwarts, except you you got a really nice review from a teacher. This, let me just see here, Albus Dumbledore. Now, why did he?" There is so much going on there, and it's not fair for this movie, but for people that read the books, that's essentially, that's his ex-lover that they had this giant fall. Like, there's so much there, and I thought Colin Farrell actually played it well, and I don't know if I fed that into it, but, like, it's one of these, like, oh, so how's he doing? Like, there was just this, I thought there was, like, weight there, and I was like, I wish there was more, like, I wish there was either more whimsy or more this, because I really like that part. I'm like, ooh, and then they get sentenced to death, magical death.
Well, Colin Farrell, if we can talk about him a second, is an interesting actor. For me, he's a lot like Matthew McConaughey, where for a long time I just wrote him off. Where Matthew McConaughey was like, I'm just in all these failure to launch stupid romantic comedies and all right. Hey, same thing with him, where he was like in these shitty movies and he had this
then Hollywood Interstellar.
He was Hollywood's bad boy. It's Hollywood's bad boy and all this stuff. And then, like, you know, I've seen In Bruges and all this stuff where I'm like, he's actually really good.
Yeah.
And but he can go either way. I can hate him in things. Like, I don't love him. There's a lot wrong with True Detective Season 2, but he's the least of it. He still does a decent job, and I don't love him in it. And this, I liked him. I actually liked him. He wasn't given a lot to do, but it's revealed that he's using Credence Barebone to, like, spy on the Second Salemers. And their interactions, I just want to watch that movie.
Yeah.
Because it's so creepy and weird. And their relationship is one of the most fleshed out relationships in the whole thing, where it's almost homoerotic, but power dynamics going on and him being abusive, but, like, also being caring at the same time.
Yeah.
It's amazing and more nuanced than anything else in this movie. And if you wanted to actually make a movie, a wizard movie for grownups, like, just tell me that story. That seems fascinating. And
yeah, I did like it. This is also like around here. He gives him the symbol of the Deathly Hallows, and he goes, "Just touch this, and I'll know." And that is such a big thing in the later Harry Potters that it's like, oh, Deathly Hallows symbol. And it's one of those moments of like, nope, you deserve that. I'm allowing myself to mark out here because this isn't one of those like dumb fan service things. That's this guy's obsession. So of course it would show up like, oh, it's so exciting for me.
Which is great. I mean, again, like, I didn't know. And so I was just like, okay, cool. Like, he's giving him this thing that he can touch.
That's what's nice and done, because you don't need to know.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that's the way to do fan service. Not being like, this, you know.
Yeah. So they go to the magical electric chair. Yeah. I don't know if you need the sequence, but I thought the sequence looked awesome.
It looked awesome. I have no idea what was happening.
I'm not sure. So, okay, here...
He references what it was later. Like, I forget what he calls it, but it's like a death liquid or something. But because he... They've decided that the senator, the Senate candidate... We skipped over this. The Senate candidate dies. He's giving a speech, and he's attacked by something invisible.
Well, he's attacked presumably the thing from Newt's case.
Yeah.
Well, that's what Makusa thinks.
Well, yeah, we've seen an invisible thing before, but Makusa is convinced that, yes, it was a monster that did it. And it just so happens that they come into the Senate wizardry Senate or whatever, what secret meeting they're having.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this guy with the beast? Yeah, this guy just got killed by a beast, for sure.
And he calls it out. He's like, no, that's obviously an Obscurus. Like, guys, you know what that looks like.
Yeah.
That's an Obscurus killed it. Which
an Obscurus is so – I didn't fully understand this. An Obscurus is, if you are a wizard and you're tamping it down,
yeah,
it builds up into this force?
Yeah. An Obscurus is essentially a school shooter of the magical world, where this kid has been – abused and forced to not obey its, you know, natural instinct, like just destroyed psychologically and refused to like act in their way. So their form of acting out is their magic kind of runs wild. Now, the entirety of Obscurus, the lore is in this movie. Mm-hmm. So I know as much as you.
But I like that concept. I don't know that I like the execution of it, but I like that concept of this power unchecked, but still just tamped down. Has to go somewhere, and what happens with that?
Yeah,
I like that concept, but yeah, it didn't work as well for me in terms of the dodge of where you think it's coming from. Again, like another twist that was like, yeah, obviously, where the whole reason that Colin Farrell has Credence Barebone because he thinks the little girl his sister Modesty or whatever.
Yeah.
Because no one, no Obscurus has ever lived past 10.
Which I love this misdirect. I actually thought it was really well executed.
I just because he was so weird and off-putting throughout it. I'm like, yeah, it's him. See, like, it's so, why would it be just like, because it would frequently cut to the little girl and she would have this kind of like devilish look on her face and maybe something was weird, but I'm like, nah, this guy's too weird. There's nothing.
See, I took that as a double feint. See, they set him up as obviously he's the guy. And then, because they do the cut to her and she's doing the chant, like, you know,
yeah.
One witch, two witch, right. I like man witch, or whatever the fuck she was saying. Yeah, whatever.
The old slogan.
Yeah, whatever Chet was. But like, it's like, oh fuck, it's the little girl. But then there's a double, you know, it doubles back on itself. It's like, no, it's the fucking weird kid because he's too old to be one. And I thought it was well done. But so the magical death room is this. So she pulls a memory out of her head. The executioner.
The executioner. But we should mention that they're being executed because since they think that, and this isn't Colin Farrell doing this. Like he
orchestrates the whole thing. Yeah.
He tells them like he's the one responsible for this beast. Kill him. He's illegal and all this stuff. And she let him do it. So Tina, you're guilty too. You're both going to get murdered. So they go to the magic execution chamber.
Yeah. So remember the pensive from the Harry Potter movies? Mm-mm. The little. So it's that water bowl that you stick your face into and can remember other people's memories.
Okay, sure.
Like, that's where Harry saw Snape's, found out that Snape used to, like, really dig on his mom.
Yeah.
So what we're doing is, so the executioner takes a really nice memory out of the Tina, mm-hmm. puts it into basically a giant pensive filled with death liquid.
Okay.
And then, so it's like, oh, no, that seems really nice. It's just a way to calm him down. It's almost like magical tranquilizer. Right. And then the magical death liquid will take over. Why those memories started going bad, I don't know, maybe because she's so powerful or whatever, but I think that the idea is that liquid shit will eat you and that's it.
Well, yeah, but that's kind of what I didn't understand. So she, whoever that actress they got to be the sort of like nurse ratchety executioner is great because she just like pulls the memory out of her head with magic and it's like, isn't that nice?
Yeah, doesn't that look nice?
And it does. As the viewer, like, yes, I'd like to go to there.
Yeah.
And, but then they put you in a chair that just kind of spirals around while you're watching the memory. Why don't they just shove you? I mean, it's the James Bond, why don't they just shoot him? But just like, why are we just pulling this out? Like, just kill him. This seems overly long to execute him. I don't know how death liquid works, to be fair.
Yeah, I mean, it only shows up in this, but I everything in the Wizarding World is overly complicated and twee, even the dark stuff.
I guess that's
so
true,
I think it's just kind of, that's the way they think. Fair enough.
Yeah.
And to be fair, I mean, it is a pretty, like, a humane way to, I mean, not there's a humane way to kill a person, but like, no, it's pretty humane. Like,
if I was going
to
go out thinking my happiest memory.
Yeah, like,
that's fine.
Not bad. Like, yeah. So they escape using the yo-yo. No, it wasn't the yo-yo
Well,
thing.
So what happens is that she is, Tina sees her memories and she's thinking about her mother. But then somehow that turns into a memory of her trying to bust the head of the Second Salem people, and that lady had been abusing Credence, and she tried to stop her and used magic on her or something, and she's a loose cannon, and they took her wand and her badge, and she's like, oh yeah, no, that's bad. But then Newt, before they're able to take Newt's memories, he throws his yo-yo monster out. She kind of wakes up, throws his yo-yo monster out. She's able to like step on it to get to safety.
Oh, I get. So she cleared the water on the way out. So it was a Credence Clearwater revival.
Yes, exactly. That was that message. I'm God damn it.
I've never been prouder.
Yeah. This is just payback for me winning last episode. But then they escape. And he actually says to the thing, because they knock someone out or something, and the evil the yo-yo monster is like on it, and he's like,
he's a cellist, not a monster.
But he's like, don't eat the brain. Stay away from the brain. Again, nothing I have is dangerous. It's all safe and fine. He just told the thing like not to eat a person's brain.
But it is like those fucking shitty dog owners. Like, oh no, he's fine. Mm-hmm. Fuck you. I don't trust you.
Yeah, Newt Scamander sucks.
Yeah, he's obviously they're dangerous. It's like what he's confusing with is, oh, they don't have ill intent.
Yeah.
They don't. But a lion doesn't have ill intent.
I mean,
it's just hungry.
Which makes sense for that character to believe that.
But it's still,
but it's also I just hate that character.
Yeah, I don't have to not be inferior.
And I don't think he grows in that way at all. So then what ends up happening is like they get out and they take refuge in his suitcase, don't they? Because there's a point where all four of them are in there. Because then you get this little scene where he apparently is pining for a Lestrange that I remember. That's Helena Bonham Carter's person, isn't it?
Yeah, that's her family, and her family's all kind of bad. Yeah. But actually, yeah, I'm glad you brought this up, actually, because I was going to skip that part. But this actually is a nice, like, character-building moment where Queenie's like, well, that lady was a taker, and you need a giver, which is a dumb way to put it. But it's like, that actually does make sense character-wise that he got basically, like, he got Forrest Gumped, you know, where he's just this poor softy and this, you know, this dumb fucking...
Oh, you could sell that guy eight reverse mortgages.
No problem. This dumb coke whore essentially got herself knocked up and, you know... Cool, I get to die in your house after having a life of just wanton sex and drugs. Here, have my child.
Bitcoin started as a scam against Newt's Commander. And it's like, this is actually working. Let's make this cryptocurrency. There's still one. There's still the invisible creature out there. The demi-guys.
Yeah. Well, technically, there's two. He just doesn't know it. He had miscounted. Because I actually like that action sequence of it fitting into the
teapot.
The teapot that I'm like... Yeah, I'm good. I want to like this, so I'm going to find some way to make it have
well,
this make
to,
sense.
To find that thing, they go, they get a tip. I don't remember even how they get that tip.
Okay, so what they get that tip is from Narlak, the magical trader.
No, but how do they find him?
That Queenie, or not Queenie, Tina, who used to be an Orr, that's one of her informants.
Oh, right.
So they go to a magical speakeasy, and basically they go into... the scene from the Star Wars re-release. That's with the dumb jazz singer house elf.
But so they end up finding like through some negotiations with this CG thing voiced by Ron Perlman. It's who in a non-Hellboy role is always welcome, in my opinion.
Here's the only thing I dislike about this is that in a better world, that's Tom Waits.
Yeah, fair enough. I think if you want a movie that like, I don't know. I feel like Ron Perlman is an acceptable Tom Waits substitute.
Yeah, it's fine. It's just, my thought was because it's in a seedy, dumb, like, you know, fake speakeasy thing. Having Tom Waits be a CGI creature would have tickled me. And Ron Perlman did a fine job. This is 100% just my personal, like, oh, that would have just been too funny to have that be fucking Tom Waits.
If Tom Waits is half and half, Ron Perlman is like the creamer they have at 7-Eleven. It's like, yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
It'll do in a pinch.
We're the only two people in the world that think the order goes Tom Waits, then Ron Perlman.
Yeah.
this is of the million reasons we don't run anything in Hollywood. Yeah. This is certainly near the top of the list.
But so they find out where the other thing is. They go to get it. And I like, what a stupid power this thing has. Like, why was that even in the, like, that didn't do anything for the movie.
The growth one?
No, the invisible power also has a thing where they can see the most likely outcome. So if you're going to move,
that was weird.
Do something unpredictable, which doesn't really happen. Like they're not stopped from capturing it. And there's just one moment where it sees something going wrong and then it doesn't actually go wrong. So it was just, why even bother with that? When they encounter the thing, it turns out it's been caretaking one of the little creatures from his, I don't remember what they're called, but from his menagerie. And so I like that it's playing mother to them. But then I started thinking about like, well, did he train it to do that? Does he make it do that? What's that about? But yeah, so then there's this whole sequence where there's this giant snake thing that fills the space to whatever it's in, like water or something. And they have to try to get it. It's about trying to get find an insect of some kind. Put it in a teapot, and it will chase after the roach and turn small again.
Totally fun sequence.
I have no complaints about this. Yeah. It was fine. It was a fun little bit. I liked it. It was fine.
But also incredibly cuttable.
But like, I wish the movie was more like that.
No, totally. Yeah.
Like if the movie was just this jackass in the Harry Potter universe brought his dumbass zoo to the city, and shit got out. Yeah. Now I gotta catch them all. That's fine. Like, that's a serviceable movie, particularly if the character is at all a character.
Yeah. I have a note here that just made me laugh. I just said, Eddie Redmayne's neck must hurt from all the side angle cocking, because his entire character is,
he's got scoliosis or something.
Yeah, I get what he was doing with that, but it's so overdone in every single time. Yeah. This is, oh yeah. So this is, basically this, we're getting towards the end set piece here where, Graves, talks to Bull Haircut and he's like, hey, where's your sister? And he's like, well, it turns out you're a squib. You're someone from a magical background that doesn't have any power.
Right. He promised bare bones that he would teach him, like that he would school him in the magical ways if he helped him out.
Yeah. But he's lying. He was a jerk.
Yeah.
And then here's the turnaround. Turns out that Credence actually is the Obscurus.
Right.
And
what an Obscurus.
And it gets loose.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's many questions about the wizarding world and how magic works. But that Obscurus, like, kills everybody, like, instantly, except for Grindelwald?
Sure. Well, Grindelwald is so powerful.
I guess. I guess it's hand-wavy enough, it's fine, but...
Because it does the same thing to Scamander. Like, it passes through Scamander, and it's just like, yeah, all right.
Oh, yeah, I guess
that,
yeah.
But I think he might warp or whatever you call it. I don't know. Because the movement is... The movement when people... What is it called? Warp...
Oh, it's apparate.
Apparate.
Yeah.
Is very similar to how that thing moves. It's just the swirly mass. It's just flying through, destroying everything. Newt, for some reason, is like, oh, well, I'm not going to let him kill it because I care about these things. Which is, you know, yeah, fine. He's a caring man. So he goes to try to deal with it. And I actually kind of liked some of this, of how he... Because Graves, I should back up a little bit and say that the Graves is like, oh, shit, turns out you are awesome. We should be friends. Obfuscated, Credence. Let's be cool. And Credence's like, fuck you. So when Scamander, like, ends up trying to chase him, they go down into the subways. Just he deals with him the way he deals with any animal, which isn't as insulting as that sounds. Because he's just very caring or whatever. He's like, is it okay if I approach you? It's okay, Credence. Like, hey, I knew this other girl that was a obfuscatron or whatever.
Obscurus.
Yeah, whatever.
Or obscurial, I think they call him as
yes,
well.
Yes, yeah. And like, yeah, he's able to just like talk him and calm him and it's going to be okay. And then like Graves just shows up, starts blasting him with his wand like an asshole.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, and we get a nice little, like, so it's so kind of the end of the set piece towards is... Tina shows up and she's also very caring and you get why her and Newt will get along and she starts talking to Credence and it's working. She's talking him down. She's like, look, I know that lady was an absolute jerk and I'm sorry that you got abused. Like, this is awful. And it's working and he's calming. You see the, Credence's face come from like kind of the Obscurus cloud.
It's almost as if love trumps hate.
No. Trump.
Foreshadowing.
Trump is the president.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That comes later.
Respect the office.
Yeah, exactly. God bless America. Make it great again. Oh, Makusa. Make America. That doesn't work.
make America crates again.
Ooh, crepes. Yeah, so it's working. She's talking him down, and then fucking Makusa shows up and just blasts his ass. Like, they're just like, don't do it, don't do it. They're like, fuck you, this thing just destroyed most
whoever,
of the
I don't remember that character's name, but whoever is in charge of Makusa sucks at her job.
You know, I would almost go differently. A thing is destroying everything. Some shithead from New York and a crappy orr say, don't kill it. Fuck you, no, kill the shit out of it. Like, I mean, they were wrong.
Right.
But as far as like efficient management is concerned.
No, she's just a bad manager because like her, like someone breaks into a meeting. It's like this, I have a guy and they're like, oh, I don't care. I don't care. Get out of here.
Oh, that part. Yeah. No, I just meant the
but
end.
Then,
where,
but,
yeah.
No, but then everything else, she's just like, well, I'm just, everyone's yelling at her about her job. And then she's like, well, I guess we'll kill these people or let, you know, Graves take care of it.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, later. Yeah. She just sucks.
Yeah. Well, she's the president of Makusa and I respect the office.
I don't.
Well, you shouldn't because they're kind of
because incompetent. they're made up.
Yeah,
there's that too.
So yeah, they kill the shit out of Credence, and then
well, they kill the shit out of the I don't think he's that because he's in the new one. So
no, Credence, they kill Credence is the guy with the bowl haircut, right?
Yeah, but he's in the new he's in the sequel.
How is he in the sequel? They explode him at the end of the movie.
I don't know. Maybe it's flashbacks, but I know he's in it.
Oh really?
I'm
okay. But
I'm
well,
90%
but
sure.
Oh okay. Well, my understanding
because guess what? Honestly, I don't remember what happened.
Yeah, my understanding is that, you know, I mean, this is what happens is Credence is in the Obscurus.
Uh-huh.
You see his face sometimes, kind of like the Sand King when the Rock is the Scorpion King. But they shoot the shit out of it. It dies and explodes. And he cries going, oh, Credence, I'm sorry, whatever. Like, it's played as if Credence just got dead. He's fucking done.
All right.
It's over. Now, I'm not to say that that's not what happened, but that's the way it plays in the film. And then basically Grindelwald is Graves is revealed to be Grindelwald by them being like, hey, what are you doing, man? Like, you shouldn't do that. And he's like, well, fuck you. I don't have to listen to you because apparently Grindelwald is the worst, strategic thinker ever, where he couldn't just be like, yes, of course I'll surrender my wand. My bad. I just got carried away. Why would you ever pretend?
I think he was in the much like Asia, he was in the heat of the moment. He starts trying to like be righteous about it of like, yeah, see how our stupid rules are hurtful and are just to protect the stupid nomadge. And then they're like, it is Commander that it's like Revelio, and it's like, oh, he turns into Macklemore, like his hair turns blonde, and it's Johnny Depp.
The thing I had didn't have subtitles. When Grindelwald is being pulled away, he says, will we just die a little?
Yeah.
Here's
the thing. I turned on subtitles because I was having a very hard time understanding Eddie Redmayne.
Okay.
And I think I just didn't, I was worried I was having it too loud or something.
Oh, you're like Queenie because she has trouble reading minds of people from Britain.
Right, yeah. So I ended up like turning on subtitles for a lot of it. And
you're a dumb little twist.
Yeah. So he says, don't we just die a little? Okay.
What is that? What is
There's always some motherfucker trying to ice skate uphill.
Will we just die? Like, what?
Yeah.
What does that have to fucking do with anything? Yeah.
I don't know. I guess we'll have to watch one of the 19 sequels.
Yeah,
to
why not a
Deathly
Hollows reference? Like, it's just, yeah. All right, so anyway.
Boy, I sure hope those Hollows aren't deathly.
Yeah, well they're not.
Then why are they called that?
Well, I mean, they are later. I mean, like, you've watched the movies, you've already seen them.
Yeah, yes, and I remember them so well. I have no idea.
Really?
I don't know.
Well,
Let
me read you the story of the three brothers. I'm just going to grab it from my bookcase.
Oh,
over here.
Is that where that happened?
Yeah, that's the Deathly Hallows. Is the wand, the invisibility cloak, and the stone that brings you back to life.
So what does Grindelwald have to do with it?
Grindelwald was on a quest to find them all.
Oh.
Okay, so remember in the Harry Potter movies that impish guy that stole the awesome wand that Dumbledore had? They had that flashback sequence where... Oh, well, that's Grindelwald. Anyway, so we're like, hey, everything's good. But turns out magic's fucked. We're all found out because New York is destroyed. The only way that this could possibly work out is if somehow earlier in the movie you had made a blue bug shit some memory juice.
Yeah.
And then Frank the Bird, which, by the way, I love that his name is Frank. Yeah. Frank the Bird could fly and make it rain the memory juice. There's so many problems with this end sequence. Let me start with this.
Which one? Because there's 12 of them.
Okay.
There's the movie steadfastly refuses to end.
Like fucking Bilbo shows up at the bakery later. You know, I get it.
Maddening.
It's established earlier that blue juice would be good at destroying memories, especially bad ones.
Mm-hmm.
So why would it work on Kowalski?
Because
this is like the best memories he's ever had.
Yeah, I don't
and I know they make a reference of like maybe, you know, he remembers some of it.
There's clearly didn't wipe it all out, but I think it's just that it's basically liquid oblivion.
But I haven't even started yet, John.
Yeah.
Why did the people inside of buildings get obliterated?
That's the thing, because I was starting to watch, I'm like, okay, well, so did anyone run into cover and would they remember? But then I started to think about like, well, maybe there's just such a few amount of them that can just be written off as crackpots. But they specifically show
people,
the bank guy,
yeah,
from earlier, nude, which the whole time I was like, thank god, finally some tatas in this movie. Like some fantastic breasts, you know what I mean? That he's in his shower and yeah, he's all confused. I guess the showers in the 20s were powered by rainwater.
No, but they showed people at the, no, but what if you're at your kitchen table, you look out of the window and see all fucking downtown get blown? But fucking wizards are out there.
Yeah.
Rebuilding stuff in the rain.
Well, they've created like a whole a shell, I thought. Because when they're rebuilding that, I thought they put up a whole shell around them.
No, that was earlier. That's when they trapped Grindelwald.
It doesn't work on wizards.
No, but it does.
No, it doesn't.
No, but it does. It's like been well established in the universe.
Nope.
It's this entire thing.
Nice try.
It
doesn't work on the movie, does it? Well, so I guess, huh, I think maybe J.K. Rowling knows a little bit more than you do.
Yeah, well, one, it's Rowling, and two,
no, J.K.
not.
Rowling.
Yeah, it was two, it's Rowling.
No, but, it's a different guy.
Oh, okay, yeah.
It's Jerome it's, just, Keith Rowling.
Just kidding, Rowling.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I just, it's such a dumb thing. So then, okay.
Well, here's another dumb thing about, please. Like, how much doing this show is awful. Not now, my brain didn't go to like, oh, yeah, no, it's like the Men in Black, like, you know, erasing memories. No, you know what my first thought was? Oh, it's like the end of Boss Baby. It's like the end of Boss Baby when the babies come and clear out things. Yeah.
All right,
I'm so glad I'm poisoning myself with this shit.
Yeah, well, yeah, whatever. Boss President Lady.
Yes.
The one that you're proud of her presidenting skills.
No, she's great.
Says, make sure to obliviate that guy, the fat guy you're hanging out with. And they went, cool. Now, they have not obeyed a single Makusa order.
Yep.
Or whatever it is. Man cow. Man cow. They have
listened to Man cow
the
entire movie.
Don't even get me started on Stern. And so they go, oh, well, they bring him up out of the subway and they go, he's like, yeah, I got to do it. I got to forget this magical experience.
Yeah.
Why? Because it's shown they don't care about authority.
No.
Why? Dude, this is the least pay. Oh my god, that annoys me because one, I'd be fighting my ass off because really, magic exists and this hot lady loves me and I'm a fat fucking idiot. Like, oh my god, there's no way you would get me in that rain. But wait, you mean all those no reasons to make me forget all this? Yeah, I guess all those no reasons are good reasons.
I'm just gonna do right.
I'll just go. Fuck you. Not even what's right. Fuck you. It's not even right. That's. It's only right for like seven people in an office you've never heard of.
I just figured that it was either like this was – he wasn't going to be able to live with this or like somehow they would hunt him down or something. Or that like he wanted to protect his friends. He wanted to make sure his friends didn't get into trouble because they helped him out so much. I don't know. I was a little bit of a sucker for that scene. Just because I liked that character, so to see him be the one that had to make any kind of sacrifice was a little bit like, oh.
But
you're 100% right. It doesn't make any sense.
That's like doing, you know, in those action movies where you dive and take a bullet for someone?
Yeah.
He took a bullet for like a soda machine.
Yeah.
Where it's just,
it's a soda machine that showed him some cool stuff. Like, it was a soda machine that was like.
What did he save? They're fine with lying to them. All they have to do is not mention it. It's not like the fight. I just go, oh, that guy. Yeah, we totally obliterated him.
Yeah.
Done.
Well, but I wonder, and I'm just spitballing here, but like, so would it be easier to be like, well, I'm absolutely in love with this Queenie person, and this is my only chance at happiness, and I could either continue to live knowing that she's around and I can't have any contact with her, or I can just forget the whole thing exists and move on with my life.
But he,
they made a whole movie out of that.
But he could have contact with her.
Not, but like, could he? Because he's not allowed to know.
He was hiding in their fucking apartment for days. They're checking up
but
on
not
him.
Without putting her in danger.
Oh, that's barely danger.
Or is it?
What, are you going to get a citation?
Yeah, I don't know. This movie's rules are
known. I'm going to have to erase my memory of the best thing that's ever happened because I might get a parking ticket.
Yeah. I don't know. Kowalski's not a smart guy.
It's $35 and I got to go down to the fucking court. Yeah. This is a pain in the ass. Please wipe my mind.
Yeah. I don't know. He agreed to it.
Okay. So, God, that annoyed me. So, anyway, they rebuild.
But I also needed to get rid of him because there's no other reasons he should be in the movie.
Yeah. Well, that's it. So, they rebuild New York because they didn't rebuild London after the Blitz.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever. They go to Nude and Tina say goodbye, which actually we kind of covered already, which is this is the only scene where I actually think Nude is somewhat charming because he's like,
I made a friend.
Yeah.
And so I don't even think it's romantic. I think he's just like, I have a friend. Hooray.
No, I think that I have a friend is with him and because he has that moment with Jacob. It's like, because you're my friend and I like you, blah, blah, blah. I think this is a romantic because she actually brings up Lena Lestrange and he's basically like, yeah, fuck her. I don't care anymore.
Yeah, hey, who's still you? What are you talking about? I don't care.
And this is the part that more doesn't make sense. Queenie visiting Jacob.
Well, before we get to that.
Oh, please.
So, because when he gets mind wiped or whatever, I'm like, well, I don't know. I hope they do something nice for this guy because he kind of did a whole lot for him. And then you see him back to his drudgery life in the canning factory.
I forgot about that, yeah.
And Newt Scamander does the whole, like, bump into him. And then they switch suitcases again, which I thought was a cute callback. But then... he's like, hey, buddy, Mafangul, and goes to lift up a suitcase, and it's all super heavy. And he opens it up, and there's a note that says, Mr. Kowalski, you're too good to be in a cannery. Here's all these something eggs shells to use as collateral. Are those a real thing?
Yeah, he doesn't mention that they're made of silver.
Okay, because like, yeah, because no, I'm just like, that's... hey, here's some trash. Like, yeah. In the Wizarding world, trash is money. Here yeah. you go. You talk about Ron Weasley's dad not knowing money. I'm like, cool, thanks.
No, I had that
here's same... Here's the banana peels.
I had that same thought of, I mean, I guess you would look at them and go, oh, they're heavy and they look like silver. They're like, I guess you would process it. But dude... just right, they're made of silver.
Yeah, it's like, oh no, these you know, whatever scientific term or the Latin biggest birdus silver. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, but then he's like, oh, hey, all right. And yeah, you see that he's opened a bakery, which was his dream, and he's making things like pastries that look like these animals, which one of them is cute. Like the thing he makes of the demigeist, that's just like this weird drippy ET.
Oh, it's
that's
awful.
Yeah. The rhino thing, I'm like, that's kind of cute, but people be like, yeah, why don't you just, this is a terrible rhino. What is this?
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a new guy, like, hey, you fucking suck at making rhinos.
The cute little niffler, or whatever, that works. Yeah. That's it. Like, yeah, it's a little bread man, like a bread duck. Eh, it's just cute.
Yeah, it's
but
good.
The rhino is just like, you really made a shitty rhino. But and then yeah, the woman's like, where do you come up with your ideas, Kowalski? And he's like, I don't know. They just come to me over here. And
hey,
then,
Kowalski, you ever been to sub-Saharan Africa? Because yeah. Your rhinos fucking suck. Oh!
And then then the movie ends with like Queenie being in the shop. And
she smiles at him.
And he like itches where the bite was. And then he's like, gorsh. And
but he smiles wider and she smiles because she's a legitimens. I think the idea is that she reads that he kind of remembers what's up.
Yeah.
However, I got to go back to the fact that the exposition monster was there when they said it especially makes you forget horrible memories.
Yeah.
So the hot lady that likes me wouldn't fall under her. Yeah. Like, why not just, I just don't set that up earlier then. It's just one of those, like, also, if you're not anywhere in that area of New York, you just have me walking by like, oh shit, that building fell down. It's not like, I mean, yeah, it's not a great memory, but it's not like the worst memory of your life. Like, oh shit, that fire escape just fell. Glad no one got hurt.
Right.
Got to go on with my day. Like apparently Thunderbird fucking juice still works on it. Why set it up?
Yeah. Well, and it's, again, like, all of these moments were endings, and they were all in the movie.
Yeah.
They just, like, I honestly wanted to pay off with the fat guy, but like.
Yeah, when Samwise got married to the lady that was from the inn.
Yeah, but totally. even if it was just a like, hey, I left you these eggs, or, you know, these silver eggs, and he's like, hey, hooray, that's all I needed. I didn't need this other thing with Queenie and, you know, like, okay, no, it did work that they're together. Because the characters are so thinly drawn throughout it that I was rooting for him, but no one else, like the Newt's Commander thing, I'm like, I don't care. Get out of town.
Yeah.
You are caused nothing but trouble and are awful. Get out of here. Yeah. I don't know. The movie's just so confused. There's bits that are charming, but it's just, I don't know if it's working too hard to try to set up a franchise, or it's just trying to deal, you know, we touched on all this, where it's just trying to deal with some heavier stuff than it's actually, it wants to be light. It wants to play off your memories of Harry Potter, but it doesn't want to actually utilize anything from that. It wants to have all these new characters, and yeah.
Well, I disagree wholeheartedly. I think it's the best film we've watched so far.
Sure.
And I can't wait for The Crimes of Grindelwald, where Jude Law plays Dumbledore, who somehow ages at a really strange rate.
If it was a Law and Order Crimes of Grindelwald, I would be on board for that. I would watch that.
Ice-T
fighting Grindelwald.
Yeah, I'm going to not do my Paul F. Tompkins impression of Ice-T. Right now, because I don't have one. Yeah, boy, this was a movie, and I recommend. Honestly, weirdly enough, I kind of recommend watching it because it's like,
it's not
like great, but like,
if you want,
I'm kind of happy I watched it. Like, I'm kind of glad it was in my head a little bit. Like, at some point in my life, I'm probably gonna sit through it again.
If you want to watch a period piece that is imbued with magic and childlike wonder, watch the Hudsucker Proxy.
There's magic in that.
Absolutely, there's magic in that. But it's more fun and breezy than this. So
yeah, all right, fair enough. All right, John, we have to do a podcast.
Yes,
in 2 weeks.
Yep.
And well, you've got some thoughts about children's movies.
Yeah, we've done a lot of them. Let's not do another one for a bit anyway.
Yeah, And I think you're going to regret that statement, because I can't think of anything less childlike than advanced astrophysics.
Sure, yeah.
Time travel. Black holes.
Okay.
Matthew McConaughey.
God damn it!
Yep, we're watching Interstellar.
Fuck.
And you have no one to blame but yourself.
No. Fine. Yes. Fine. Fine. Fine.
Exactly.
It's not based on a book, so that's something.
I think it might be, but...
No, there's no, it's not.
Oh, it's not? Okay. No. It seems like something that would be based on like some like Stanislaw Lem book or something like that.
I wish. I like Stanislaw Lem, actually. But
all right, well, let's watch the original kind of Solaris from
Hell
Russia.
Yeah, hell cool. Yeah.
Nothing I like better than 17 minutes of going up a driveway.
I would absolutely watch it. I would defend that way more than Interstellar.
My God, would I win that episode? But it doesn't matter, because we're watching Interstellar, yeah. Which I cannot wait to... The only thing I like about Interstellar in my memory is how much you hate it.
God, yeah. That is the movie. I have never done this. That is the movie. Out loud in the theater, I went, oh, fuck you, about like 10 minutes before the end. Like, I don't remember when it played, but just, God damn it, I hate this movie. So
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Spoiler alert. I hate this movie.
I think you're going to like it upon rewatching.
The movie, and I'm sure I'll say this again next week. It is the movie that made me go, Christopher Nolan might suck, and completely changed my opinion on all of his movies that I liked previous, which is the only reason I haven't watched The Dark Knight yet, because I'm like, I remember enjoying that, and I want to continue remembering enjoying that.
Hey, John, I think my bookcase is trying to tell you something.
Yeah, I'm sure it is.
It's trying to tell you to leave a nice review on anywhere you watch, you listen to the podcast, tell your friends about it, leave posts or whatever you want to do. Okay, I'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.